Welcome back to Breakthrough, Waking Up to the Real You. I am your host, Alejandra Vivanco. Thank you so much for joining me today on another midweek devotional. Remember to subscribe and share the podcast if you haven't already. And also make sure to follow me on Instagram at alevivanco29 for more. And today we're going to begin a new book, the Book of Isaiah. If you go to church, it's a very popular book that's probably the first reading most of the time. So first, I was looking into what the book was about, and I found this great website that I'm going to link in the description. And it says, Isaiah prophesied from 739 to 681 BC to a nation that had turned a deaf ear to the Lord. Instead of serving him with humility and offering love to their neighbors, the nation of Judah offered meaningless sacrifices in God's temple at Jerusalem and committed injustices throughout the nation. The people of Judah turned their backs on God and alienated themselves from him, which created the need for Isaiah's pronouncements of judgment. Declarations made in the hope that God's chosen people would return to him. Isaiah's overall theme receives its clearest statement in chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. That's Isaiah 12:2. This echoes the meaning of Isaiah's name, which means the salvation of Yahweh, which means God. Having read the book, one might wonder about the strong presence of judgment that runs through the first 39 chapters when the theme is salvation. How can the two coexist? The presence of judgment indicates its necessity for salvation to occur. Before we can have salvation, we must have a need for it. And there's plenty more that you can read from this website. So it's not uncommon. I think that it tends to happen that people turn away from God because we stop looking at him and we begin to just create what we believe should be, what's right and what's wrong, and what serves us and not God. So Isaiah, even though this was written way before Jesus Christ, this actually can be applied to today. So let's begin with Isaiah 1. Again, I'm reading through the book and then I pick whatever I believe resonates with me, what I would like to share. But I always invite anybody to go ahead and pick up a Bible and read the Old Testament. So on Isaiah 1:21, it says, "See how the faithful city has become a prostitute. She once was full of justice. Righteousness used to dwell in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your choice wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, partners with thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case doesn't come before them. You will be ashamed because of the sacred oaks in which you have delighted. You will be disgraced because of the gardens that you have chosen. You will be like an oak with fading leaves, like a garden without water. The mighty man will become tinder and his work a spark. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire." There's definitely this like ominous type of theme over all this because of how he talks about the city. You know, the faithful city has now become a prostitute, he says. You know, once it was full of justice and righteousness, but now murderers. And I can clearly see how this now you can actually put it in perspective in today's society. Unfortunately, a big part of the popular culture is about how you look and how much money you have or what you are doing to get money or to be beautiful or to be idolized or to be popular. There is no God in the conversation. It's kind of like every man out for himself. it's very shallow and superficial. It's just mayhem. It's just chaos. There's no rule of law. Even the law is not applied. People just do whatever they want. And if you just watch the news, you'll see how we have lost perspective and people can get murdered for anything, just absolutely anything. And we're not talking about people that are of age. We're talking about even underage people who are doing the stealing, the killing, and especially in this city where I am. And you kind of feel the sense of, I don't think it's hopelessness, but it's just you feel lost because once you come to Christ, you understand the importance of a human being. You understand that we all are children of God and we all have the potential to do good, but for some reason we choose evil instead. When you take God out of your life, God out of the equation, God out of the family, you begin to see that other things become idols, or other things become God, because now we put money in a pedestal, or we put likes, or we put pleasures at the top of our list to follow. And that means that we're not going to care about one another. We're not going to see the other person as a human being. We're just going to see the other person as an obstacle to whatever we want to have. I was watching or reading the news, rather, about a kid. He was not of age, but he was underage, a teen, that killed a grandma because him and his friends wanted to steal the car. And he yanked her arm so hard to get her out of the car that it was, I think, dislocated or broken. And eventually the woman died. Why? What's the purpose of that? And we have to really think about it because these are our kids. It's not my kids specifically. I didn't give birth to the kid, but that's our next generation of people that believe that that's just a possibility. When I was growing up, that was never a possibility to harm someone else because I wanted to steal something from them or to want to have somebody else's possession because I just wanted to. There were rules in place. Granted, it was a harsher upbringing for me. It was very, very strict and violent, but I never wanted to step out of line because I feared the consequences of my actions. How can we allow this to happen? How can we allow for kids to do things that are evil? Because whether you harm someone because you just, you know, you're not really thinking clearly, or you harm someone and kill them, which is even worse, how are we allowing that? Like, what generation is coming up behind us? And this is something that Isaiah is talking about. Your rulers are rebels partnered with thieves. And we all know that politicians are corrupt. We all know that. I've been saying this for the longest because I come from a country where politicians will just do the dance with the people that are the poorest to get their votes because that's the majority. And then they'll turn on them and just enrich themselves, but always use the speech of I am poor or I am discriminated against constantly. And then they're just robbing people blind because it's about the self. And Jesus says, deny yourself and follow me. There's a reason for that. It says they all love bribes and chase after gifts. That is something that happens constantly. A politician is supposed to be somebody who serves the people because the people elect that person that represents the majority. But in reality, it's just somebody who wants to get something out of the position they're in. That's it. To secure the bag, quote unquote. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case doesn't come before them. And the reality of this is that, yes, the world is, it seems to be upside down and it seems to be lawless. But I do believe in divine law. I do believe in divine justice, and I do believe in God. And if I believe in God, one of the things that happened is that I believe that everybody's going to be judged accordingly. And some people may not have internalized that specifically, that consequence, that idea, that possibility. But I never want to just throw my hands up and toss a coin and say, well, it may happen or it may not. I do believe that we are all under a higher power and God is watching. And if we don't teach one another that God is watching, then we're doing what we believe is good for us. And remember not to follow your heart because it can deceive you. Bring God back into your life, not because of this idea of God that you may have or this idea that you have to belong to a religion specifically. That's not the beginning. That's not the motive. It is because at the end of the day, we are a part of the creation, but we are not the creator. So we have to answer to someone. And right now, society seems like they are answering. It is answering to no one. We answer to someone, and that someone is God. Whether you like to believe that or not, that's okay. That's on you. That is your free will. You have the freedom to believe whatever you want to believe in. But believing that you're going to live your life and there will ever, ever be consequences, and another man, the rule of man, is going to actually hold everybody accountable in due time, that's just not possible. And that's why people lose hope, because they are playing the earth game only. They say, well, you know, I know people that they just break the law, they get away with things, and I've never seen them pay the consequences of their actions, and some of them have died. Yeah, but we don't know what's happening after that. Once you die, your body is gone. Your body is just the shell of your spirit. But your spirit, the energy living within you, is going to pay the consequences of your actions. So what are you doing, whether you are being caught or not, that is putting your spirit, your soul, on the chopping block, which will take you to hell? And again, you don't have to believe in hell. But when you face hopelessness, when you face loneliness, when you are at the bottom of the barrel, when you are just not feeling even like you want to live anymore, that's hell. And that feeling doesn't go away. So imagine that for eternity, way after your body is gone. That's because God is not in the picture. And when you bring God into the picture, it doesn't mean that everything is just going to turn upside down and everything is going to be blessings and joy and happiness constantly. We cannot chase after that. But it means that you know, because of faith, that you're walking with God regardless of what's happening in your life. And that gives you hope. That gives you a lot of hope, and it brings you back into reality. It gives you perspective. And you say, even though things are not going the way I want, it doesn't mean that they're bad. Doesn't mean they're good. It's just what it is. But the good thing in my life, and that can always, and I can always count on that, is that God is with me. It says, the mighty man will become tinder and his work a spark. Both will burn together with no one to quench the fire. That really is a bit scary, I'm not gonna lie. That's it for today. Again, this is Breakthrough, waking up to the real you, and I'll see you next time. Bye.